Thank you, Jason. Well, once again, thank you for being in church this morning. If you have a Bible, if you would turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12. I'd like to just review some principles from the Old Testament Passover as we prepare our hearts for our Lord's table. This is our first time around our Lord's table for 2012. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So I'd like for us to just review some principles concerning what the Lord's table is all about, what it represents, that we might be well prepared to partake in a worthy manner. Exodus chapter 12, please. I'd like for us to read from verses 1. Down to verse number 8. I'll read verse 1. I'd be happy for you to join with me. We'll read together verse 2. And let's keep that same sequence until verse 8. So every second verse, please read with me. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Verse 1 reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it." Thank you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are mindful of your grace. We're mindful of your blessings that are upon us. And Lord, I pray as we prepare our hearts for your table, I ask, O God, that you would fill our hearts not only with the presence of your Holy Spirit, but also with a grateful spirit as we focus upon what you have done in order to provide salvation for all mankind. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. The background to the institution of the Passover meal is that God is seeking to deliver his people out of bondage. And God commissioned a man by the name of Moses to lead God's people out of Egypt. Some 400 years plus years have passed, and God's people have cried out to God for deliverance. God hears their cry and provides a deliverer. And Moses, with the aid of Aaron, stood before Pharaoh and said, in essence, "Let my people go." Well, the Bible teaches us that Pharaoh got very stubborn. And as a result, God plagues the land of Egypt with some 9 different plagues. And yet the heart of Pharaoh is hardened to the will of God. And it's with that in mind that God institutes this Passover meal, which in essence becomes the 10th and last plague to sentence judgment upon unbelief and upon the people of Egypt. And it's with this Passover meal that God reveals to us some wonderful lessons concerning our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a correspondence to what Christ has done for us that's well illustrated within the application and institution of this Passover feast, which was to be observed by God's people and was to remind God's people on a regular basis concerning their deliverance out of bondage. And so likewise, as we, the people of God, for those of us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we must be mindful and never lose sight of the fact that we likewise have been delivered. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin. And Christ, our Passover, died in our place in order to provide that deliverance. Let's review for a moment the lamb that was sacrificed here within this passage of Scripture. In verse number 3, in verse number 6, the Bible teaches us that a lamb was selected for sacrifice. This lamb was picked out on the 10th day, and it was set aside until the 14th day. And this lamb was specifically set apart to be sacrificed. And in the same way, God the Father foreordained before the foundations of the world that God the Son would be that sacrificed lamb for our sin. According to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. In John 3:16, the Bible teaches us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And just like a lamb was selected in order to be sacrificed, God the Son was selected by God the Father to be our sacrifice lamb, to die in our place in order to provide redemption for all mankind. That's why Joseph of old was told by the angel, with the birth of that child, "Thou will call his name Jesus," Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "for he shall save his people from their sins." So a lamb was selected for sacrifice. Now secondly this morning, concerning this lamb for sacrifice, not only was this lamb picked out specifically for a purpose, but also according to verse number 3 and 4, we are told that each home needed a lamb that would cover the number therein. The goal was to make sure that nobody went without, that all could partake of that lamb to be consumed. See, look at verse number 4 for a moment. The Bible teaches us at the end of verse 4, "Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." So there had to be enough lamb that would be roasted and consumed, enough lamb to cover the number within that household. And if the lamb was larger, so to speak, and it could cater for another household, then that household would combine with that original household, and that lamb would be divided amongst them. But the key was that there had to be enough lamb to cover each individual. Each person had to have the privilege of consuming some of that lamb that would ultimately be roasted and sacrificed. And that reminds us of the lesson that God is concerned about all individuals. See, for God so loved the world. Now, what does that word "world" mean? Well, it simply means world. Everybody. Men, women, and children. For God so loved the world that God's love is available and demonstrated towards the whole world. And just like the nation of Israel, in preparing their lamb had to be sufficient in size to cater for the number of individuals within that household, so likewise God's salvation, God's sacrifice Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, provides salvation for all mankind. For men, women, and children. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this lamb was set aside specifically as a sacrifice. This lamb was to be large enough to cater for all of the individuals within that household. And thirdly, the Bible teaches us the lamb had to be without blemish. The lamb had to be without blemish. Note there in verse number 5, the Bible reads us, the lamb shall be without blemish, a male. So this lamb that was selected as a sacrifice for that Jewish home had to be spotless. And the reason being that there were 4 days between the choosing of that lamb and the actual sacrificing of that lamb. It's within that 4-day period that lamb was just examined and scrutinized, and God's people were to just make sure that there were no hidden blemishes in that lamb that were not identified on the first day. But that lamb was selected, it was set apart on its own, and it would be observed for 4 days. It would be looked over from top to bottom, from side to side, and examined for 4 days. And if that lamb was without blemish, then they were assured of the fact, this is the lamb that we are to sacrifice. But within that 4-day period, if there was a blemish found, and that lamb would be set aside, and then there would be the selection of another lamb. The lamb had to be without blemish. And this illustrates for us the fact that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was without blemish. The Bible teaches us there was no guile found in His mouth. There was no sin in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And the priceless blood that was shed upon Mount Calvary, it was blood without blemish. So as we consider this lamb that was set apart for sacrifice by the people of God, it reminds us of the fact that when John the Baptist said in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," that lamb, the ultimate lamb, the final lamb, God the Son, was without blemish, was without sin, was spotless, was pure. And therefore He qualified to be the sacrifice for our sin. Because if Christ was with sin, then how could He possibly redeem man in sin? That's a misnomer. So God, who is apart from sin, had the power to redeem mankind that is in sin. The Bible teaches us we have a sinful nature. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And death passed upon all man, because all men have sinned. So we are sinful, the Bible teaches us. And that's why we are perishing. That's why we are growing weary. That's why we are falling apart slowly but surely. Because the wages of sin is death. But aren't you thankful that one day the Lord Jesus will return, and we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be changed, and this corruptible body shall put on incorruption. But until that day, we dwell within a sinful nature. We are sinners before a holy God. So the spotless Lamb of God, this Lamb that was to be set apart, had to be without blemish. So the lamb was selected. The lamb had to cover, had to be enough in quantity to feed the whole household. that lamb had to be without blemish. Let's take a moment now and make reference to the blood of the lamb. The blood of the lamb. See, in verse number 7, the Bible teaches us, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So concerning the blood of the lamb, well, when the lamb was killed, then the blood was taken. In order for there to be blood that could be applied to the doorpost of that home, that lamb had to be killed. It wasn't a matter of just extracting blood from that individual. Now, nobody likes to have their blood extracted. But most of us have experienced having blood extracted. And aren't you thankful that you are still alive, concluding the extraction of that blood? Well, for God's people, they were not just to extract blood from that lamb. They had to kill the lamb, and then the blood would be applied accordingly. So death came before the application of the blood. And the Bible teaches us upon the death of that lamb, blood was to be taken. And that blood was to be applied to the doorpost of that home, to each of the side posts and the upper post. Blood was to be sprinkled. So as you stood back from a Jewish home that believed the Word of God and were involved in this Passover meal, you would notice upon the main door entrance, and most Jewish homes would only have one entrance into their home. Most of our homes have a front entrance and a back entrance, but that wasn't common amongst God's people. There was one door that led in and led out. And once that lamb was sacrificed, blood was to be gathered, so to speak, and that blood was to be sprinkled on the left-hand side of the doorpost and the right-hand side and then the upper portion of that doorpost. But that lamb had to be killed before the blood was applied. And may I submit to you, my friend, as we consider the Lord's table this morning, as we consider the death of Jesus Christ, it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that has the power to save us from sin. And that's made possible through the death of Christ. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He shed His blood. His blood was not extracted. His blood was shed. His blood flowed from the medium of death. So Christ had to die for our sins. When Jesus Christ was suspended upon that old rugged cross, He didn't faint. He wasn't unconscious for a period of time. Jesus Christ died on the cross. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And those Roman soldiers were so convinced that He was dead, they did not break His legs. It was traditional amongst the Romans just to make sure at the conclusion of a crucifixion, just to make sure that that one crucified was dead, they would unlock that leg from the pin that held the legs of that cross, and they would put one hand on the kneecap and one hand behind the back of the heel, and then they would go crack to see what happens. And obviously, if there was no response, the person's dead. But these Roman soldiers looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They placed a spear in His side, and there flowed blood and water from His side, which is a picture of death. It illustrates death medically, the separation of water and blood. But they were so convinced He was dead, they didn't bother to break His legs. See, it's from the death of Christ that His blood was shed. And that blood was shed, and that blood was applied. And as you consider that doorpost, blood on the left-hand side post, blood on the right-hand side post, blood on the upper doorpost. As you connect those points, we have a wonderful illustration of a cross. The Lord Jesus died on an old rugged cross. Christ's blood was shed upon the cross. In Colossians 1:20, the Bible teaches us that it was the blood of His cross upon which He died. Our Lord was beaten and crowned with a crown of thorns, the Bible teaches us, and He was nailed to this old rugged cross. And as He died upon that cross, His blood flowed. His blood was shed. And as you think back to that Passover meal and the killing of that lamb and the shedding of that blood and that blood that was taken up and applied to the doorpost, what a wonderful illustration and picture. But ultimately, the Lamb of God would shed His blood, would die, and His blood would be applied. To what end? To provide redemption for God's people. And the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 8, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Note then verse number 8 that this lamb that was killed and roasted and killed would be consumed. Before it was roasted, blood was taken and applied to the doorpost. And then that lamb would, the lamb without blemish, would be cooked and roasted. And the Bible teaches us that God's people were to consume this lamb totally. But they were to consume this lamb with unleavened bread and also with bitter herbs. The bread is an illustration of the body of Christ. When the Lord Jesus instituted the communion table, He took fruit of the vine, pure grape juice, and said, "This represents my blood, which is shed for you." And then He took leavened bread, unleavened bread, and said, "This represents my body, which is broken for you." And God's people, as they partook of this Passover meal, they were to do so with unleavened bread. Predominantly within the Scriptures, leaven is a picture of sin. Not always, but predominantly. And within this context, it is a picture of sin. So this bread that was to be consumed by God's people was without leaven. It was pure bread. It was a bread that represented the sinless Lamb of God to come. And when Christ's body was given for you and I, as it hung upon that old rugged cross suspended between heaven and hell, it was a lamb without blemish, a lamb without sin, a body that was unmarred by the sin of this world. And God's people were to consume this roasted lamb with this unleavened bread. And also the Bible teaches us with bitter herbs. Herbs are bitter. But boy, they can let off a fragrance. And they can add flavor to a meal. But to eat a herb directly can be a very bitter experience. So God's people, as they partook of this lamb, were to eat bitter herbs at the same time, illustrating for us the fact that the experience that our Lord Jesus had in dying on the cross for our sins was not a sweet experience. It was a bitter experience. Our Lord Jesus tasted the bitter herb of suffering. In Hebrews 12:2, the Bible teaches us that He endured the cross. Our Lord suffered. In the bitterness of Christ's death, the sweetness of Christ's redemption is available for all mankind. Jesus Christ was willing to suffer on our behalf. And God's people here in Exodus chapter 12, they were to partake of this lamb with unleavened bread, picturing the spotless Lamb of God. The Lamb of God without sin that was given for us totally. And the Bible teaches us that they were to consume this lamb. None was to be left behind. And my friend, may I submit to you that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," redemption is available for all mankind. Nobody is left out. And when a person receives salvation, they receive salvation once and for all. It's a salvation that is permanent. It is by faith alone that a person partakes of the Lamb of God, so to speak. And when a person repents of their sin and invites Jesus Christ to be their Savior, that person is saved for all of eternity. It is a complete salvation. But it was made possible through the unleavened bread of Christ's body. It was made possible because Jesus Christ was willing to taste that bitter herb on your behalf and on mine as well. Well, the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 9, 10 and 11, please. The Bible reads, "Eat not of it raw, nor sodden or soaked at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the putrescence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." And note then verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And then in verse number 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So God's people, as they partook of this meal, were to do so prepared to be delivered out of Egypt. They were to have their clothing in order so that they could leave Egypt swiftly. They were to have shoes on their feet. They were to be prepared to leave diligently. They were to have their staff in their hand. So God's people, as they partook of this meal, were to partake in a condition of preparedness to leave Egypt. And this was a meal of faith. So God's people by faith were to partake of this meal. And God said, "When I see the blood applied to the doorposts of your home, the death angel will pass over you." So each home that had the blood sprinkled upon its doorposts would not suffer the tragedy of death. As those families that did not believe in the Word of God and would not have the blood applied to their home, death would strike that home, and the firstborn would die instantly. And the Bible teaches us that on that evening there was a great hush for a moment, and then there was a great cry from countless homes as all of these homes experienced the death of their firstborn. But yet for those people that believed the Bible and applied the blood, those therein would be spared. And may I submit to you, my friend, if you are a Christian this morning, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, the blood has been applied. And the death angel will come your way. Yes, he will. It's only a matter of time. In fact, the Bible teaches us it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Let me ask you this morning, are you prepared for the death angel? Are you prepared for that time of which you will face eternity? Well, the good news is the Lamb of God has prepared the way before you. He was willing to be sacrificed. He was willing to have his body broken. He was willing to have his blood shed, not for his sin, but for your sin. And if you will apply that blood to your life by faith, by simply acknowledging that you need redemption, by simply acknowledging that the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb, has the power to redeem me, and by repenting and by faith receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will see the blood and the death angel will pass over you. And instead of being condemned before a holy God, you have life eternal that only comes from an eternal God. Are you a Christian here this morning? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And God's people, by faith, they were to partake of this meal, prepared to leave that place of bondage. The just shall live by faith. God's people, by faith, prepared the meal. God's people by faith killed the lamb. God's people by faith applied the blood to their doorposts. God's people by faith prepared themselves to leave Egypt. And God honored their faith. And the Bible teaches us that some 600,000 men, that's aside from women and children, there could well have been in excess of one. Some commentators say up to 2 million people that left Egypt. And the Bible teaches us that also a mixed multitude joined the people of God. They could see that the God of Israel is the living and true God. And there was a great deliverance. Many people were delivered out of the land of bondage, the country of Egypt. And my friend this morning, let me ask you, have you been delivered from the land of bondage? Have you allowed the blood of Christ to deliver you from the bondage in sin? The penalty of sin. The payment of sin. My friend, Jesus Christ, when He shed His blood, paid for your sins. And when He died upon that cross, His body was broken for your sins. And for those of us that have received that redemption, and just like God said to His people, this Passover meal shall be a feast that you will remember time and time again. Because God said to His people, the nation of Israel, that you are to always remember and never lose sight of My deliverance and My provision for your deliverance out of bondage. And in the same way, for those of us that are Christians here this morning, God the Son instituted the Lord's table. And the bread that is used is unleavened bread to represent the body that was broken on our behalf. The body of Christ without sin. And we purposely use grape juice, pure juice, to represent the spotless blood, blood without blemish, that was shed on our behalf. And the Lord Jesus said, as you partake of this bread, and as you drink of this cup, you do show forth the Lord's, My death, My sacrifice in your behalf. And we have to do so in remembrance of Christ and what He has done for us. And it rightfully reads there in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And for those of us that are Christians here this morning, according to Acts chapter 2, the Bible teaches us those that were saved were baptized by immersion. They were added to the church and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship and in praying together and they continued to break bread. And they praised God collectively as a people, as one. And my friend, this morning, during this time around our Lord's table, if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and if you've been scripturally baptized by immersion, which is the first step of obedience following salvation, and you are in complete agreement with our doctrines and practices here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, the Bible teaches us in the early church they continued in the apostles' doctrine. There was a unity of faith. There was a oneness of belief. So if you are saved, you've been scripturally baptized by immersion, you are in complete agreement with our doctrines here as an independent Baptist church, and you believe that your heart is as clean and as pure as it can possibly be before God and fellow man, well, we invite you to fellowship with us as one body. As we remember the body that was broken and the blood that was shed on our behalf. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.